if you're in an interdiction, this is a class to go to. Like, can we go? And we had a, you know, memo, really want to send these guys, right? It costs money, but we really want to send them. So I think that's part of it too. Because there's a changing of the guard, and it's happening slowly.
Oh, yeah.
There's a huge...
There is.
And but you know...
Guess what? Like, a lot of that comes back to the bravery of people like all of us here who have taken the responsibility to say, we're not waiting for politicians or chiefs to change it. We'll fucking change it. We'll change it. If you don't like it, then don't come. But if you need these answers and you want to get better at this, here's what we got. Hey guys, check out the 2023 Street Cop Conference, April 23rd through the 28th, Gaylord Convention Center. It's going to be the event of the year. Keynote speakers include Rob O'Neill, the guy who killed Bin Laden, Kyle Carpenter, the youngest living Medal of Honor recipient, Navy SEAL Jason Redmond, Fox News host Tommy Lahren, Marine Corps Special Forces and Leadership Coach Cody Alford, Sheriff Wayne Ivey, Sheriff David Clark, and Sheriff Mark Lamb. It's going to be one hell of an event. And on top of that, we have all of our instructors and additional instructors from other companies going to be at the event, giving you everything they know for you to have a successful career and get the results you want to get in the field as a police officer. On top of attending the event, you'll get face-to-face time with every instructor attending the event, and all the keynote speakers will spend time with you. We got special events all week, giveaways, nightlife. It's going to be really, really worth your time, energy, and effort. I promise you, you will not regret it for a second. To register for the conference, check out streetcop.com, click conference, and everything you need will be there on the homepage. If you are looking for a room, just click book a room. The block has been sold out at the Gaylord Opryland Convention Center, but there are many hotels nearby within a walking distance of the event. You don't want to miss out on this opportunity. We will see you there.
111.
Hey guys, welcome to this episode of the Street Cop Training Podcast. I'm your host, founder, and CEO of Street Cop Training. My name is Dennis Bonino, and guess who's back? Ellie Alfonso. In training for a street cop instructor position. So you'll see her shit in the future. She brought along a friend with her today, Turtle, who's the mastermind behind some of the tactics being taught in the, I don't know what you guys want to call it. I don't want to mislabel it, but we talked about 10 minutes before we started. Maybe you take some of that shit and use it, Frank. But thanks for being here again. You're like, basically, we're probably just going to move to fucking New Jersey and just get an apartment across the street.
Legitimately, yeah, I will.
And Turtle's here. I don't know your real name, but...
Yeah, my real name is Nick Manella.
Oh, yeah, I remember this now.
Everybody calls me Turtle.
Why?
When I was a little kid, I wanted to grow up and be a Ninja Turtle, and that's what I do now, you know? It started with, actually, Professor Dante. You had him on the podcast.
Dude, he's my kid's BJJ coach.
Oh, yeah, they train
professor,
with him.
Right?
So, yeah, nice. So
I love that guy.
When I first started training, I actually started training at Ricardo's back in August of 2009, and Dante was my first professor, and they used to call me Ninja Turtle Nick, and it actually started as an insult from another instructor that was there, who I'm good friends with now, but little did he know, I wanted to grow up and be a Ninja Turtle, so I was like, oh, fuck yeah, so I took that name, and I ran with it, and it started pissing him off that I liked the name and everything, so I was like, man, I'll take it, you know?
That's fucking cool.
Yeah.
So what's your history like in the mixed martial arts world?
Yeah, so like I said, I started training at Ricardo's back in 2009 just because I wanted to fight MMA. And to be able to fight, you have to know how to fight on the ground. I had like a karate background, and I thought that was like enough. You know, I'd come in and learn like some jiu-jitsu and stuff. And then I expressed to Dante when I was like a two-stripe white belt that I wanted to start fighting MMA. So he was like, oh, come to a practice, you know, try out, see how you like it, sparring and stuff. So I remember the first time I sparred, it was with this kid, Anthony. And so the bell rings, we touch gloves, we start throwing punches and stuff. And I hit him really good, like right in his chest with a punch, which was awkward too, to try to punch somebody in the face. Because back in karate, we weren't allowed to punch to the head, just to the body. So I punched him like right in his chest, and I was like, fuck yeah, I hit him good. So I stopped and put my hands down for a second. And then all of a sudden, he lit me up with like 10 or 15 punches after that. Because in karate, I was used to like throwing a shot, they stop it, like award a point, and then continue fighting.
It's like fencing.
Yeah, like fencing, I guess. And like, so that took about 6 months to get over. It was like 6 months. I'd hit somebody, I'd stop throwing. They'd hit me like 10 or 20 times, and then I'd start throwing again. And it was hard to get over the flinch response, like not flinching when somebody's trying to punch me, and then continuing to throw punches for a continuous 5 minutes, and then go for takedowns and stuff like that, too. And then I did a bunch of jiu-jitsu tournaments coming up. And then I probably had my first MMA fight when I was a purple belt. And that went awesome. I was the first fight of the night. They, like, come in. They're like, oh, start warming up. You're about to go out. So I get my hands wrapped. I, like, hit pads for, like, 1 or 2 minutes. And they're like, all right, let's go. And I was like, oh, man, I didn't even get a warm-up. And I was like, fuck it, let's just go. And then I remember going out there, getting in the cage and stuff. They locking the door behind me. And, like, man, it was awesome. Like, just getting to unload, like, throw hands. I got punched in the face probably, like, 100 times. My best, yeah. My best defense was blocking punches with my face. Like, I broke so many people's hands with my face. It was awesome. But that's probably why I didn't do MMA for so long, because I would take, like, a lot of head trauma. I had about 3 MMA fights. My second one was probably my favorite fight. It was in Atlantic City at the Taj Mahal. And I fought this dude that was like 6'3". He was humongous. I'm like 5'7". And I thought I won that fight. I was like out wrestling him and everything. But he ended up winning the judge's decision. And then my third fight, I don't remember that fight at all. I only remember what happened because of the video, watching the video. In like the first 30 seconds, I walked straight into this kid's straight right hand. Just put me out, like exploded my nose. I went face first into the canvas, but somehow my arm wrapped around the kid's leg. I hugged the single leg. I pulled him into my half guard. The kid stood back up because he was a striker. He didn't want anything to do with jiu-jitsu. And so we stand up. I'm still unconscious. The ref told us to go. I just shot right in for a double leg, and that's actually when I woke up, when I rushed him to the fence. I wake up, and there's just blood pouring out of my face. I'm in on the fence on this double leg. I'm like, oh, shit, what the fuck happened? I remember these 3 thoughts going through my brain exactly. I'm like, what the fuck happened? My nose is definitely broken because there's a waterfall of blood just coming out of my nose and my mouth, like, on the floor. I'm looking down at the canvas while I'm hugging his legs. And then I'm like, I got to finish this fight because the doctor's going to stop it. So I finished my double leg. I passed his guard. I went for a north-south choke. He was putting up a good fight. The clapper went for like 10 seconds left, so I started blasting him with knees. And then the ref stopped the fight, or stopped the round. We go back to the corners. The doctor comes in. She, like, wouldn't let my corner guys come in or anything in between rounds yet. And she's, like, grabbing my nose and, like, crushing my nose side to side.
Whoa.
And she's like, you know where you are? I'm like, yeah, I'm in a fight. She's like, do you want to continue? I'm like, fuck yeah, I want to continue. Like, I just need some water and I'm good. And meanwhile, this guy's cleaning up all my blood in the cage. And then they finally let my corner guys in, and I sit on the stool, and this guy just mopped up all this blood, and I turn to the side, and I just, like, spit and spray all this blood out of my face on the ground and stuff to try to clear me out. And then it ended up going 3 rounds, and then they tried to take me to the hospital afterwards. And I was like, nah, my friend's about to fight. Like, I want to stay here and watch him. He's like, the paramedics were like, you got dropped in the first round. I was like, I know I got dropped in the first round because I don't remember the first round at all. They're like, you also got dropped in the third round. And I was like, I didn't get dropped in the third round. They're like, yeah, you did. You need to go to the hospital. I was like, nah, I'm good. And then I didn't. They like sat with me for like 45 minutes. And then they're like, all right, you're okay. Doesn't seem like you're going to fall out. And then that was my last MMA fight. I got like suspended indefinitely because of my broken nose. And then I was like,
who decides that?
I guess the athletic commission does, okay. You know.
So once you break a nose, you're out?
You're not out. I guess it's depends on the severity, and then you just got to go get cleared by a doctor and stuff like that. Yeah. But after that, I was like, that was probably the 12th time that I've had my nose broken.
Shit.
Like, I've got my nose broken more sparring than in actual fights and stuff like that. Like,
how bad does that hurt?
Yeah, it sucks. Like, you feel it in the roof of your mouth and your molars, yeah, and stuff like that. It's just, like, constant pressure, you know?
How long does that last?
Like a week or two, you know? Like,
yeah, it's annoying.
And then one of my friends was nice enough. I went to train at Ricardo's like a week after that fight, like 2 black eyes and stuff from my nose being fucked up. And while I was training, this kid kneed me in the face while we were training. Dude. But it actually put my nose back a little straight. So
no
I was
shit.
Happy about that. Yeah, because my nose was like way more over to the side. And he kneed it and it went back kind of straight. So that was good. Because I already had, from sparring, I'd already had a surgery on my nose to fix my nose and stuff like that. Dude. So I didn't want to have another surgery.
You have good medical insurance? Do they cover that?
Now I do. So I just got married
congrats,
the day
dude.
After Christmas. Thank you. And now I have good health insurance.
Kids, so. you gonna start fucking pumping those fuckers out?
Yeah, hopefully. You know,
all right, Doug, I'll afford them, bitches.
Yeah, we're going to have awesome kids, I hope. You know.
Yeah, you will.
Believe it or not, Ellie actually did our service.
Nice. For me and You're my an wife. Ordained minister?
I am.
Yeah. Oh, I can just imagine what that one's like. Hey, welcome everybody. Thanks for being here for the wedding.
Awesome. It was actually.
No, I know.
Yeah. Quite romantic.
It was really good. She made me cry and shit.
Oh, you know? Shit, dude.
I was never going to reveal that part of that story.
It's okay. I'm not ashamed, you know?
Yeah, yeah. That's fucking cool, man.
Yeah.
You still. So now what are you doing?
So now, so we opened up Gracie Baja Princeton like about 5 years ago, a little over 5 years ago. And then I've just really been focusing on teaching, growing our school. I still compete in jiu-jitsu. I haven't since before COVID, like the weekend before COVID, before everything got shut down in March, was the last time I competed. I still have a desire to compete, but my body's all banged up and stuff. Cause
How old are you?
I just turned 36 on Sunday.
Yeah.
I trained all through COVID. I didn't stop training or anything. I was training like harder during COVID than before. And just the injuries just caught up, you know.
What else was your childhood like? Were you doing like wrestling and shit, just straight karate?
Yeah, no wrestling, nothing like that. I wish I wrestled back then, because I feel like it would have given me a better base to start jiu-jitsu with. But I'm actually happy I went into jiu-jitsu with like an open mind and no habits at all, so I can like learn from the beginning, like how to
learn from the best.
Yeah, and from the best.
Dante's a fucking savage, right?
Dante, Ricardo, Professor Pete McHugh, getting a spar with Frankie was a dream come true. You know, even though I don't really remember the sparring rounds too much.
Yeah.
I remember one time sparring with Frankie. It was right when he was about to fight BJ for the first time for the belt. And I'm sparring with Frankie, and I go to shoot a double leg on him at the same time as he's coming up throwing a knee like Jorge Masvidal and Ben Askren. And it must have knocked me out because he hit me so hard. But it was like a flash. Like, next thing I know, I'm trying to fight still. I'm trying to spar still. And Frankie's, like, telling me to, like, yo, relax, take a minute. So I must have been out. And
he's
like,
a good dude, bro.
Man, he's super nice.
That's fucking cool, though. Yeah, Frankie's a good dude.
Yeah.
What do you think about, like, when kids take karate versus Brazilian jiu-jitsu?
I mean, it's good for the discipline aspect, you know? Like, I definitely think karate had a big effect on my upbringing and stuff like that, discipline-wise. I don't know if I'd be the same person I am today without learning. Plus, karate was different back then. They used to come around with, like, a kendo sword and, like, beat the shit out of us if we weren't doing stuff right. It's not as soft as it is today. We didn't train on mats. We trained on like hardwood and everything like that. Dude. Yeah, it was real old school. My first karate teacher, her name was Miss K Couturier. I have no idea where she's at now, but man, she had like one of those big like 80s like hairspray hairdos and stuff like that. She could do like crazy kicks and stuff. But man, was she mean? She was so mean. She used to beat the shit out of us. It was crazy. Yeah. So.
Did a lot of kids like leave? Cause like, what the fuck is this?
Yeah. A lot of kids did end up leaving, but a lot of parents like forced their kids to stay in it and stick with it and stuff like that. Cause I guess they knew how it would benefit us and help us in the future, you know, become like productive people, you know?
Bro, let me tell you something. I'm going to give you my experience of what my kids have been going through at BJJ thus far with Dante. And so like, I'm tough with them in a sense of like, I'm a great dad. I'm easygoing. Like last night, dude, they were up at 10:38. I could just hear the fucking noise. I talked at 9:30. I'm like, guys, you got to go to bed. Get school tomorrow. This is a 7-year-old and a 5-year-old. Mm-hmm. Right. So now they're in their room. So 10:38 to go. And I'm like, I'm not like the guy who's like, I'm actually like laughing because it's funny. Cause like, they're like, and I'm like, boys, you got school tomorrow. It was 11 o'clock. Mm-hmm. Their mother would have killed him. And I'm like, please, I'm going to turn the TV off. I'm going to take the iPads away. You got to lay down. But I left like, I loved it. I thought it was hysterical. I'm not like this crazy dad. But when it comes to, you know, being disciplined to show up and get something done. And when you commit to something, you're going to finish it through. But especially BJJ, because I also know what it's going to mean for them. So I'm so bad that like last week, the 5-year-old, he's athletic. He's a little guy, but he's athletic as fuck. The other ones, not as athletic physically, but he's very intelligent. So he's very quick to understand how the moves are done. Mm-hmm. And dude, he's been putting me in like arm bars and shit. He's like, come here, let me fucking. And I'm like, look at these motherfuckers. Been going for like 6 weeks, they've been going, 7 weeks. And they're already putting me in like an arm bars and like locking my, like stand here and like, okay, ready? And I'm like, yeah, and they're like, and I play along. They're like, doing takedowns on me. And then like, they're sprawling on me. I'm telling the one dude, I'm like, hey, we're going to Brazilian Jiu-Jitsu. Get your fucking gi on. We're not playing games. Get up. He's like, I don't feel good. My stomach hurts. I'm like, that's bullshit. I'm not taking you. You have obligations. I'm telling you, we're going. It doesn't matter. And I purposely like made sure the other one who went, I'm like, you want to go to McDonald's? And he's like, yeah. I'm like, and you're going to get toys at Target too. You're not going? He's like, but I want McDonald's too. And I'm like, yeah. I don't, he's getting, so my wife texts me. She's like, are you going to get McDonald's for everybody else? And I went, no, it's not how it fucking works. So I made sure we got everything. And I came home and I said, so I ended up being, he actually was sick. So we all got the stomach bug, dude. He was the first one who got it. But dude, we're over it now. Like everybody's going back next week. And there is no excuses. 3 days a week, at least minimum two. And you know, my wife's like, well, he does that and he does this. I'm like, listen to me. This is the most important thing for them to do. Yeah, it doesn't matter. And when they're here, they fucking love it. Mm-hmm. It's just a matter of getting the goddamn gi on and getting in the car. So, dude, I use McDonald's as a fucking, as a temptation thing. But to lead into what you were saying, every parent there is like, we love, Dante's fucking hysterical mm-hmm. with the kids. And we all appreciate it so much because he's like, hey, hey, why's all the noise? I'm going to start throwing people onto the fucking highway. Yeah. And I'm like, because he's shot out, yep. right? But then sometimes the grandparents come, mm-hmm. right? You have kids come to your thing?
Yeah, yeah.
So a grandparent there last week. I know the woman. She don't remember me, but we know her kids because I brought like four of the kids from our town, I live in Millstone, to the thing. And she's like, oh, my God. Oh, I don't like this. I can't handle it. Mm-hmm. And I said to her, they're going to be okay.
Yeah, yeah.
They do this every week. And she's like, I can't. I don't understand this. And I go, they're going to be okay. They're going to make it. They're just kids. And this is a controlled setting. And she starts and she goes, and she's like getting up and looking and coming back. She's like, I can't understand why anybody wants to do this. She's like that typical like Staten Island, yeah, like yeah. very Staten Island, like dramatic, calm the fuck down lady type of shit. Right. And I go, what would you rather them do it here or get their ass kicked in the street?
Yeah.
I go, because all these kids, if they stick with it, will never get picked on in school.
And it's better than punching and kicking somebody or being punched and kicked. You know, you're just taking them down, looking to control them. If you have to throw punches, then you have to throw punches, you know, but you don't necessarily have to, right?
Dude, exactly. You know, I just watch her. So then all of a sudden her grandson goes off and she's like, oh, he's doing good. And then the girls, she's like, girls, the girls are doing it. Oh, my God, the girls are choking each other. And I'm like, yeah, they're actually better than the boys. She's like, they are? Oh, and I'm like, oh, my God, can you get this fucking lady out of this fucking place? And then her daughter came out. I know her daughter. I go, your mother needs to leave. And she's like, oh, my God. Was she like, I'm like, yeah. And then there's another set of grandparents doing the same shit. But every parent goes in there, like the parents. And I'm even like the voice of reason now because I'm there, you know, 3 days a week for the past. I'm like, they're good. Let them just do their thing. Like, they're fucking good. But one thing that I saw that he did, I tell people because I loved it. These two girls start fighting, and the one forgot to tap. Mm-hmm. So I don't know the girl's name. Let's say her name was Jessica. I think it was something like that. He's like, Jessica, what are you crying for, Jessica? And she's like, oh. He's like, I told you, don't forget to tap. Get back down, get back in your guard. And he's like, wipe your tears off. And he gets down next to her and he goes like this. He goes like, Jessica, you're fine. Stop crying. He's slapping her in the face, like just tapping her. And she's like, get back in the guard. And so the other girl gets in on top of her. She's like, all right, now get on top of her. She's like, all right, go ahead, do it again now. And tap if she hurts you. And then like she escapes and turns around on her and she's like, there you go, Jess, that's it. And then she was happy. Mm-hmm. And that's the shit. And everybody, I'll never forget, like, those eight parents sitting there on, like, the fucking Tuesday night. We were all like, that's the shit that we fucking appreciate about this because life isn't fair, dude. Yeah. And if you fucking cried every single, that's what I tell my kids. Don't come, they run to me. Oh, so-and-so did this. And then I go, so go punch him in the fucking face. Tell him me for. Mm-hmm. And people say to me, because they'll watch me do that. I'm like, go punch him in the face. Go punch your brother in the fucking face. And he won't do it again. And somebody said to me one time years ago, they're like, why do you say that shit to them? I go, because what are you going to do at school?
Yeah.
Kid picks them. I'm going to go fucking come cry to daddy. I'm not going to be at school. What happens when they're 17 and they're in fucking down the shore with their friends? Some kid picks them. They're going to run and call me. Mm-hmm. What the fuck am I going to do? Right? I ain't going to fight nobody. They got to go punch somebody in the fucking face. And I tell my boy, I've told their school people that we've met, I'm like, just so you know, if you call me, and they were defending, I told their principal this one time, I go, if they're defending themselves or another kid who's getting picked on, you could just suspend them. You don't have to explain anything to me. That's fine. I get it. But they're not going to be in trouble at home. And I don't. I certainly don't think, well, it's a different time. I know what you're saying. That's not how we deal with things anymore. I go, I am telling you, that is how the Boninos are dealing with things. Mm-hmm. So just understand, if a kid picks on my kids, I am telling them to punch them just right in the fucking face. Mm-hmm. That's it. That's what I'm telling them. Punch them in the face. Mm-hmm. I don't want to hear about talking or what you hurt my feelings. Just punch them in the fucking face.
I think schools, environments almost breed a feeding ground for bullies with their victims there already.
Sure.
It's a horrible.
They're victimizing more of their victims.
Yeah, and it's just, they just get to get randomly picked on. Like the whole, well, go get a teacher if someone touches you is like, that's just the worst advice ever. Because the bully doesn't respect the person. So you're.
So you get punched in the face.
That's it. One time. And then maybe you punch each other and then you're like, all right, I'm sorry, you're sorry, move on, and then resolve your dispute.
That that's bully it. Will go away.
Mm-hmm. It will.
Right? He may try it again. You just keep, know that you're not. Gonna not fight him, and that dude's gonna move on to fucking or the girl.
Yeah,
I would tell you. I talk about some podcast. You'll like this story. I'll stop talking as much and then let you guys get out.
No, you're fine.
Yeah, no worries.
You're fine.
My son comes home from camp over the summer, and this is the first time I ever see him just down. And I'm like, telling her, I'm like, hey, something's not right, you know. So for a day, we're trying to figure out what it is. He won't tell us. So later that night, it's like 10 o'clock, she went out with her friends for drinks or some bullshit. And I said, what's bothering you, pal? He goes, there's kids making fun of me at camp. I said, oh, well, what are they saying? He goes, well, these two kids are, my kid's got a big ass fucking head. They call me Megamind. And I went, well, that's kind of creative. That's pretty funny, right? But I didn't say that. It's pretty fucking funny. Kid had a fucking giant cranium from the minute he was fucking born. Big ass fucking head this kid's got, right? So I'm laughing, and I go, all right, so when you go back to school tomorrow, just walk. Now I'm texting her. I'm like, hey, there's two kids picking on him apparently because, well, they're third graders. I'm a second grader. And I go, okay, go back to camp tomorrow and just punch him in the fucking face, both of them. And he goes, Dad, I can't do that. I go, yeah, we can. We're fucking Boninos. We're going to punch people in the fucking face, dude. Go back in and they will stop picking. Just hit him right. Just walk up and punch him in the face as hard as you can. And he goes, but Dad, they're girls. And I went, okay, yeah, don't punch him in the face. I'm not going to want to deal with that one. And, you know, I said, you know, you can get involved in this one. And, you know, she's like, I'm going to go there and talk to those girls. I go, just stop. They're kids. Go there and address it with these two girls. But I said, but it's a boy ever. But, you know, he was like, I can't do that. I can't. They're girls. Hey, guys, if you're enjoying the Street Cop Podcast, do us a favor and give us a review on iTunes or Spotify, wherever you're listening to us. Tell a friend. We don't charge anything for the episodes. We appreciate your support. Check us out on any social platform by putting into the search bar Street Cop Training. Give us a follow. We have a lot of free content coming out every single day that you might not catch here on the podcast. And it's important for you to be able to do your job more professionally. And we also entertain you as well.
Let me say something very controversial. The girl, if she got punched in the face, might learn that if you pick on boys, you could get punched in the face. It's the equality thing we talked about.
Yeah, you and I are in a different level of intelligence where that's not going to be acceptable.
Start our own colony somewhere.
Dude, I told the missus today, I said, when you start to realize that 99% of the world is completely full of idiots, your life's just going to get easier. Well, you can just apply that like, oh, there's just another one of these idiots.
Yes.
99%. Complete morons. Just sheep, non-independent thinkers. And when you're an independent thinker, you're so different that you're completely an outcast. That's why they say, you know, the climb at the top is very lonely and people at the top are lonely. Yeah, because nobody understands that your intelligence level, that you're solving all these things and you're coming up with all these solutions that are different. And I mean, look at the mob mentalities.
That's scary.
Mob mentality is essentially a herd of very unintelligent, emotionally uncontrolled idiots. That's it.
The greatest line from Men in Black was when, I think it was Tommy Lee Jones says, a person is smart, but people are stupid. Yeah. And I've lived by that. And it explains everything.
Yeah.
If you get people one-on-one, you can kind of reason, have logic sometimes. Yeah. But the more big, the bigger the crowd, the worse it gets. And we've been living it for like the past few years. Like common sense is just out the window. Somebody told me it doesn't grow in everybody's garden, which I think is a pretty clever saying as well.
Well, it actually should be appropriately named Uncommon Sense.
There you go.
Most people don't have it. There's a Charlie Munger reference. Charlie Munger's Warren Buffett's right-hand man. So You know, it's just some thought there. So you guys designed a program. I guess, Nick, you essentially designed a program to start, right?
Yeah, so we started up this defensive tactics program with the help of Ellie and everything like that.
How did you guys get to know each other?
I joined.
She just came in one day and signed
up. So you're like this person living in Virginia but basically dying to come back to New Jersey nonstop.
Probably. It's that pull to home, right? It's the only home I know is New Jersey.
I love it here.
I just wish some things were different. Just a couple little things would be so much nicer, like maybe a little bit more gun friendly, a little bit more Second Amendment friendly, you know? But I came up here and I wanted a place to train. And I found their place, and it was a coincidence because that actually was going to do a trial class at Professor Ricardo School in Robbinsville. But I ended up getting hurt, so I never went. And then we moved to Millstone, moved from Millstone back to Hamilton because we had to.
Who moved? You moved to Millstone?
My mom lived off of Millstone Road most of my
did
life.
Did we talk about this already?
Yeah, we did. You just don't remember me because I'm one of many faces.
No, it's not true. I just have... So in my brain, honestly, I have to dump some things to make room for other shit.
I agree.
So I just can't remember some things, dude. That's just how it goes. My brain only has so much capacity.
I just do a clear out at the end of every night. I just clear everything out.
Reset.
And then I'm ready for the next day.
Yeah, you're ready to take on more information, dude. Yeah. There's a lot of shit that I don't remember. And then sometimes it's like, well, I told you that. And I'm like, well, I don't fucking know. So I asked you three times. I knew there was something there, but I got so much shit going on. Anyway.
But met him, started talking to him, and he's seen the... So like as low key as he is, I've never seen him beyond that. Even when he's training, it's almost like he's asleep. So I started talking to him one day about, like, listen, I have a question about control for handcuffing. And I am not so arrogant that I assume I know everything. I don't. I want to go to subject matter experts. And obviously we're not doing something right. And he just gave me a quick explanation and we started talking. And I said, how do you feel about, you know, helping me do something? Like, you are the mastermind of techniques. You're the black belt. I can tell you the problems we face. And then we could talk about the legality of it. So he actually sat down one day and did like a 2-hour crash course on like Graham Conner, Tennessee Garner, and laws of arrest and shit. And he was like, okay, I got it. Threw him in a vest, put a gun belt on him, gave him a Lindell, had another professor there. And we're like, okay, apply this to law enforcement. And then once we threw in the gun, the knife, and the restrictions, right? He goes, well, this is fucking different. This is not going to work this way. So he just open-minded, humble, and let me tailor this to cops. And then, like, he actually puts on a free class for cops one day a week, every Wednesday at noon. Come in your gear, and you just train jiu-jitsu, but for law enforcement.
Where can they find that? So it's Gracie Baja?
Yeah, Gracie Baja Princeton, or gbprinceton.com is our website. And, it's right over here in Lawrenceville, New Jersey, every Wednesday at noon. And I even open it to our students that aren't law enforcement to come in their street clothes and see what it's like to train in your street clothes, because I mean, when you get in a fight in the street, you're not going to have your gi on, you're not going to have your Noki stuff on, you know. You'll this time of year you'll be in like pants and a hoodie, you know, so you got to see what it's like to fight in pants and a hoodie and how you can use that hoodie if somebody else is wearing a hoodie to strangle them or control them and stuff like that, you know.
Dude, why the affinity for law enforcement? Like, why do you take the responsibility to do things like that for cops?
I mean, it's super important. They got to learn jiu-jitsu to control other people and to control themselves also, and the best way to do it's through jiu-jitsu, you know. And it's like it's crazy that there's not more jiu-jitsu being pushed on law enforcement, you know. Now it seems like jiu-jitsu is being pushed more, but it should have been pushed when they saw Mel Gibson hit that triangle in Lethal Weapon 1, you know what I mean? Like, that's when it should have been being pushed.
As much as it's being discussed, I still don't believe it's being pushed that much. Yeah. I think a lot of people are now taking the responsibility to learn it. There are still agencies that, and honestly, I do believe the future is bright for law enforcement, because you have very, very independent thinkers coming up. People who have lived through this time and they've grown up of, why are we doing this? Or listening to the stuff that we're putting out. Like, we can be better about this. We can... The old way doesn't work anymore. And you start to see drips and drabs of it. You know, change or dramatic change doesn't happen overnight. But certainly we think we push the envelope and or move the needle a little bit every single day here. So, yeah, it is happening. You know, I don't know what they're doing at the academy levels, but I can promise you that 90% of academies are still doing stupid shit.
Yeah.
That I can guarantee. Because there's no creativity. And essentially, if we know that the, let's call it 95% of the world is pretty unintelligent. By And I'll give 5% as a buffer. So if somebody meets me like, that's a fucked up thing to say, I go, well, you must be one of the 5%.
Then they feel better.
Yeah, then they'll feel better. So then I know that essentially they're unintelligent for saying something like that, because only really intelligent people actually understand that, because you sit in your thoughts and ideas all day, you're like, that made no fucking sense. Or sometimes you're in conversation, you're like, these people are fucking stupid. Mm. They have no idea what they're talking about. They're just talking. I'm related to most of them.
It's crazy, because our profession, and it's so, if you ever want to start like a good argument with cops, like you can piss off tack guys by saying, you know, diamond formation versus stack formation. You can debate that shit all day long. Like in defensive tactics, you can get 5 DT instructors in a room and you're not going to agree on anything.
Nobody's on the same
page, right? Yeah, no. And like people are like, you know, jiu-jitsu's bullshit. It's not for cops. It's Krav Maga. It's like, listen, there's a little bit of everything that we need, but we need a base, right? Our job is to throw an ass whipping occasionally. 90% of our job is control. And then it gets out of control because you don't know how to control somebody. And what I find is that we're the only profession where someone who's got no background can do a 40-hour class, and now you're a subject matter expert to teach on.
It's wild.
It's fucking insane is what it is. Could you imagine a doctor? Like, would you have heart surgery by a guy that went to a 40-hour class and now is anointed an expert and is teaching everybody else? Hell no. Mm. And it comes down to priority, money, politics, you name it, it's there. And even so, like New Jersey, after 2020, because 2020 was the rush of change. But I call it surface change.
Yeah, it's bullshit.
It's surface change.
It's all bullshit.
People were pushing like the 8 that can't wait. Like they had the list of, you know, only use deadly force if you have to. De-escalate first. And it's like, we've been doing this for fucking years.
Yeah, forever.
This is not new, right? This is not a new concept. And then it's like, okay, if you want to be humble about it, Academy, you can't do the teaching. You need people that are... When I first talked to him, and he's like, yeah, I got punched in the face and my nose exploded and I bled everywhere and I had to finish the fight. I'm like, that's the mentality I need. Mm. For cops. Like, I need somebody that isn't scared. I need somebody that can be humble enough to go, well, this technique didn't work, or let's do that and apply it to us. So my only job when I teach with him is I apply case law, how to testify, you know, what do you do with the handcuffs, what's your approach, that kind of shit. But the nitty gritty, it's a subject matter expert. That's not me. It's someone who's been there and done that. And that's jiu-jitsu, critical.
Jiu-jitsu is really the way to go as opposed to Krav Maga, because jiu-jitsu is about control. It's control-based. And Krav Maga, just from an outsider looking in, it looks like it's like rage-based. Like I'm trying to gouge your eyes out and rip your balls out and stuff like that. Like that's not what you're trying to do to control somebody. You got to take them down, hold them, pin them, you know, get them to do what you want to do by applying, like, maybe some pain compliance, like a Kimura or a wrist lock or something like that, you know. I remember doing, I did, like, a weapons takeaway course, like a gun takeaway course, and it was ran by a Krav Maga guy, and it was just all about, like, deflecting and then, like, smashing their face and stuff like that, you know, which is important when there's weapons involved. You got to escalate your use of force and things like that. But you can still do that stuff with jiu-jitsu and, like, feeling like a straitjacket on somebody while you're smashing their face is going to be a lot more useful than smashing somebody's face but not controlling them at the same time.
Mm-hmm. You know? You put yourself in a really bad spot if you don't know what you're doing. Mm-hmm. Like, if I don't know what I'm doing...
No shit.
Right?
Didn't we just see this 2 weeks ago?
Yeah, we did.
It's like more about controlling yourself and the other person at the same time. And going through like the live training after jiu-jitsu class is super important, because that's where... You get to learn to control your own emotions in these bad positions. Like you have somebody that's like Big Mike, for instance. He's like 6'7", like 265. Yeah, he's on the SWAT team for the state police. And like, man, that guy's on top of you. You can't freak out. You got to stay calm, stay composed. Just control that person the best that you can so you're not taking any damage. And then capitalize on your openings, you know?
Dude, every failure is a training failure.
Mm-hmm. I agree with that.
The whole fucking thing. And I say that in my class the whole time. And then once I get that established when you're in proactive patrol, I'm like, this, everything you see is going to be a failure to train, and this is why chaos erupted. So I'll say in the videos, trained or untrained. And then everybody's like, trained. I'm like, yeah, he's fucking trained. Look how fucking fluent that guy was in that shooting. Mm-hmm. Right? Trained or untrained. You got a guy in fucking El Paso jumping into a car on live PD and getting taken for a ride, basically kidnapped on duty. And I'm like, Trey, did you ever see that video?
Your delivery of that video is what makes the video, one, good and tolerable.
Yeah, yeah. But, like, it's fucking terrifying that you might have, I'm being so fucking thoughtful here, 30,000 trained cops out of the 750,000 that are in the field right now, trained to a level where I think that they can be basic enough, mm-hmm. right? I don't even think our stuff is advanced. Literally, if it was a good marketing ploy, instead of calling it Proactive Patrol, which it's not, I would call it the field training your ass should have had. Mm. That's what my class is. And people are like, that would sound too basic because people think they know their shit already. But that's not true. Right? So, you know, also you said academies have to lay the sword down and understand that they can't teach BJJ. They just don't have the people or the staff. Let me just add to that and say that I've talked about this before. Theoretically, if it has taken me this many years to collect 45 instructors that I think are valuable enough with the information, and I'm not saying there's not more of these people in the world, but 45 people have come forward and I have deemed them in my mind qualified enough to wear the brand of Street Cop training. So when you show up and you say, we're at a Street Cop class, we know we're getting the best there is out there, or one of the best. How the fuck can you run 500 to 1,000 academies and think you have the best? It's impossible. You're getting somebody. So you're failing at every level. And I've told you this before. I think it might have been with you.
Yeah.
We'll have to go to academies in the future when they start understanding that they can't deliver what we're able to deliver. We'll have to go to more of an online, internet-based style academy. I'm not saying they're going to have to figure out the BJJ stuff in person. But for the kind of stuff they need, I'd rather watch a 1.5 hour video of Simon Sinek giving a fucking speech about leadership than go to half or 90% of the leadership programs in police world that are like some fucking old dude for 3 days who was a dick chief who was heavy on internal affairs and goes through this process of like, you start with this, then it gets 2 days, and you give them 5 days, and it's progression. Make sure you document. Like, what the fuck are we talking about? We're failing the fuck out of people by that shit. So when people say, like, oh, you think you do a police academy online? Yeah, most of it. Like, honestly, most of it. Because you're not going to have the guy. Who is teaching Proactive Patrol at your academy now?
I got zero.
Nobody.
Zero.
There's nobody.
Because the problem is, the hard thing is that I think the way we run this profession, it has to be seriously looked at, right? Especially the academies. I know who goes to the academies. There's maybe 1% or 2% of legit hard chargers that want to be academy instructors. But if you're a proactive cop, you don't want to be at the academy.
Right.
You don't want to be an SRO, right? Your TAC guys don't want to be in the schools. You want to be on the street. You want to be working. You want to be pulling dope. You want to, you know, work whatever gangs, whatever you like. I would rather see an academy set aside money and say, hey, our DT program is going to be a 4-week, 5-week, 6-week intensive. We're going to bring people in, or you're going to get outsourced, and you're going to learn that there. And you apply the police application to it. You can have an academy instructor co-instruct and say, hey, following, you know, Graham Conner or the New Jersey policy of you got to de-escalate everything first. No shit. But you also have to engage me to de-escalate. Like, I can't just de-escalate a fucking lunatic who's trying to take my head off. It doesn't work that way.
Right.
We can do it so much better, but you have to put the ego aside and say, this is just not working.
You can't do that. There's no shortage of egos.
I guess.
And there's no shortage of humility. I'm sorry, of non-humility.
Yes,
there's no humility, almost none of it. And when you meet somebody in this profession, or even in life who has humility, it's a refreshing breath of air to go, oh my God, finally somebody who understands they just can't do everything here. Even me, I can't do everything. I don't even try to teach everything. And I will say that we have a guy in the academy right now from this company who's wrapping up. And he's been actually bragging to me that their last 3 or 4 weeks of the academy has basically been like Brazilian jiu-jitsu.
Oh, good.
And it's not far from here. We're going to his academy graduation next Tuesday.
Nice.
And he's like, dude, it's actually really good. This is his third academy, so he has context of his previous two. Because he was a corrections officer in Maryland and then like went to Virginia, worked in some shithole down in like the Norfolk area.
Ugh.
Like, dude, fucking craziness down there. They're fucking insane down there. Those places are – they shoot – it's crazy. You don't think, like, that place is insane, that like that area. And then he came back here, so he knows. And he's like, no, it's been really good. So but also he's also told me other shit, right? Like, which is not good. And he's got people coming in, and they know that he fucking works here. And they're taking shots at Street Cop, couple guys.
I'm sure.
Who are showing up, and they're like, we're going to teach you interdiction. And he's like, I'm like, who are they? Who are these fucking hand jobs that are coming and taking time out of their day to purposely take a shot at me, who's doing the best that I can to make this shit better? Where I know that a lot of people appreciate it. Most people do. Right? So, like, but why is that even a permitted conversation in an academy to recruits?
But it shouldn't be.
How about this? Like, what if I, like, sent legal action down? Right? Like, keep the name out of, like, defamatory slander. Like, you want to get that two fucking losers from some bullshit South Jersey town? You want that, right? You want me to do that to you to shut your fucking, like, but I don't care. I'm not here for the noise, right? My point is like, that just goes back to, why is that even being tolerated or allowed in academy? And if you're going to be an academy instructor, how do you show up with some kind of fucking attitude like that? And by the way, don't even know the fuck you're talking about, telling their interdiction guys. We've never even heard of these fucking guys, right? And we should know. We're the fucking company, right? We got some of the most profound interdiction guys in the country, but they're jealous. They're like insecure little fucking bitches.
And the less you do, the more jealous you are.
Oh, please.
Because you don't want to get called out on it, I think. And I think it's also hard. It's a conflict. Like,
come to my, you know, listen, those guys over listens or get the fucking, the skinny that we were talking about, you're welcome to join the podcast. We'd love to have you in. And I'd like to see how you're going to defend yourself against me. Because nobody says it to your fucking face, just
no,
so we're clear.
No.
Nobody. One guy, one time, my friend Danny, he's a high-ranking official. He talked shit to me on LinkedIn. I said, send me your phone number. And 5 minutes later, we were friends because he misunderstood what I was saying. That's a real story. He's a real good friend of mine still. And he's a big cheese, right?
Your company is like the top company now for law enforcement training.
You know, and you saying that is wonderful to hear. It barely gets into my ears because I feel like we haven't done shit yet. I don't know if I'll ever feel like we have done shit because there's so much fucking work to do. I can't let that stuff seep into my brain and confuse me at all. Because when you say that, then I'm at like other places and they're like, what's street cop? And I'm like, precisely.
Well, my guys, like back in, because it was during COVID, they took one of your classes. Right before COVID, right after COVID. And I've had a couple classes that I approved over the last couple of years. Mm-hmm. I'd never met you then, so it wasn't like I knew you. Where they were like, hey, if you're in an interdiction, this is a class to go to. Like, can we go? And we had a, you know, memo, really want to send these guys, right? It costs money, but we really want to send them. So I think that's part of it, too. Because there's a changing of the guard, and it's happening slowly.
Oh, yeah.
There's a huge...
There is.
And but you know.
Guess what? Like, a lot of that comes back to the bravery of people like all of us here, who have taken the responsibility to say, we're not waiting for politicians or chiefs to change it. We'll fucking change it. We'll change it. If you don't like it, then don't come. But if you need these answers and you want to get better at this, here's what we got. This is who we are. We could have gone to the grave with this knowledge, but instead we'll share it with you. And this is what we think. And sometimes we mess up. Like, what are you going to do? We're human beings.
Yeah, but after 24 years, I just want better for those coming up behind me.
Sure.
That's all I want, right? At the end of the day, go home, do good police work, and feel good about yourself. That's all I think any good cop wants, and give them the training that I didn't get.
Everybody wants that as a human being.
When I think of back at some of the classes I've gone to, it's just like, what is this?
You've won recently, right?
Yeah, I went to a ground defense school, which was a judo throw for like 3 fucking days, and the third day it took us to a sauna because our whole gun side was just beat to shit. And it was just, we literally stood there like traditional, like judo, grab, grab, throw, throw, throw. And I remember thinking, what the fuck is this? Like, what am I gonna do with this? Yeah. There was no context. There was no, what if this, what if that? It was just straight hip chucking for 5 days.
It's a very...
Sounds like, was Dante teaching that class?
No.
There'd be some days like Dante would be teaching class, like especially the 6 a.m. classes, believe it or not. He wakes up pretty early in the morning. Me and him actually lived together for like 6 months. And
I love that guy, by the way,
too. Oh, man, it's awesome. I got tons of stories, but...
He's out of his mind, right?
Yeah. So he'd come in and start teaching class, and he'd have us start drilling hip tosses, and then somebody would call him on the phone or something, and he would like leave the room and be gone for like 45 minutes, and we'd just be standing there like hip tossing for 45 minutes, and then he'd come back in and be like, "All right, time to train." And it's like, "What the hell? I thought we were gonna like learn stuff. We're just in here hip tossing." It was pretty
five
funny.
Days of that shit.
Yeah, that's crazy,
dude. You didn't meet him yet, right?
No, I've never met him. Only through stories from. Yeah,
we'll he's
him,
a trip,
we'll bring
dude.
Him by one day.
He's a trip.
That'd be cool.
We'll bring him to. We've had him come to Gracie Baja a couple times to teach classes for us and stuff like that.
He does yeah, a nice job, awesome. Dude. I appreciate him so much. I really do.
And he, man, he's like so selfless. Like if he sees you at a tournament or something like that, and you don't have anybody coaching you or cornering you, even if he doesn't know who you are, he'll like jump in that seat and start coaching you and stuff like that.
He's got a lot of bravado. Very strong personality, but a good dude. And just a unique character, right? He's just a unique character. Mm-hmm. He's just out of his mind.
Yeah, there's not many Dantes out there.
Yeah, he was on the podcast.
I'll have to find that and watch it. I know you had Professor Ricardo on, too.
Yeah. We had Ricardo come in. We had Tom DeBlass on.
Oh, Tom, nice.
Yeah, Tom's intense dude, man.
Yeah, super nice guy, though.
Yeah, super nice guy. Really got a good soul. Mm-hmm. Intense. Mm-hmm. There's not many men in the world that scared the fuck out of me.
Yeah.
And he kind of, me and Frankie were like, Ooh, that was a little scary, wasn't it? Because he started talking like a hitman. You know?
Yeah.
He's like, they're fucking lucky that I got kids. And I'm like, holy shit.
the kids definitely changed Tom. He's a nicer person now, like very more understanding. And
Kids change everybody, dude. Yeah. If you have kids, Nick, like out of nowhere, you'll be like crying to Moana.
Yeah.
Right? Like Coco will make you, you'll just become like this pussy. It's unbelievable. I am the most sensitive human being. I'm also developed more as an adult now, but I brought the kids to Monster Trucks Rich Bruno. I don't know if you guys know, have you met Rich yet?
Mm-mm.
One of our instructors, he calls me on like a Saturday to talk about some shit. It's like 5 o'clock and he's like, yeah, I'm going to fucking pack up right now. We're going to Monster Jam. I'm like, that shit's tonight. He's like, yeah, Prudential. I'm like, oh fuck, I'll see you there. There were literally 6 tickets left to buy. The place was sold out. Mm. But when I went there, dude, to watch my kids enjoy it, to be the dad and be able to bring them to those places and do that with them, I'm telling you, get teared up, bro.
Yeah,
like it happens the weirdest times, and I'm like trying to, they come out and they're like, when those trucks come out, we go to all the time. This is like our 7th Monster Truck Rally. You just hear like, rah! Those things just come ripping out. They wreck the whole place. It's fucking loud as fuck. You been to one before?
Never been to one.
They're just so goddamn loud, and they just like get like, yeah! Where my kids love dirt bikes and fucking flips and shit. We have all that shit. Bro, it's those moments that like just get you like emotional. My kid lied to the people on Aladdin, the ride. I have a video of it. I'll show it to you. So I hear them asking the question. We're going to Disney, not last year, but the year before. So he was 5 at the time. And I see the girl walking around. How old are you? How old are you? How old are you? Because if you're under 7, they make you sit with somebody. So I'm in line with him. It's me and the two boys, the two middle ones. And I go, listen, Frank, here's the deal. If she asks you how old you are, you got to tell her you're 7, okay? I'll give you the audio for this. You can put it in the fucking podcast because I have the clip. And I'm like, he's like, so let's pretend I'm her. How old are you? He goes, 7. So I go, okay. So we sit, we go on Aladdin the ride, and she comes around. She's like, how old are you? He's like, 7. And she's like, okay. And he went, oh. I was so proud of him, dude, for lying to this woman. I'll show you guys the video. It's one of the funniest videos you'll ever see. It's just those moments, dude, that like, listen, Disney sucks balls 50% of the time, and the other 50% of the time is just pure gold, dude. Mm-hmm. Like, you can't put a dollar figure on what those moments are like, but half of it sucks.
Yeah.
The other half's amazing.
Yeah, we have a couple things that we still want to do before we go and have kids, you know. Definitely want to have more money coming in.
Dude, just fucking let it rip and figure it out later.
That's what somebody said to my wife last night. Like, oh, you'll figure it out.
Yeah, no, seriously, dude. Don't fucking sit around and try to procrastinate by, you know, what is it?
Paralysis by analysis.
Paralysis by analysis. Don't do that. Just seriously, bro. I wouldn't overthink it. I think the best way to do it is just fucking do it, figure it out later. Like, there's a wonderful saying in business, and it's jump and grow your wings on the way down. Mm-hmm. Right, I live by that, dude. You know, and I literally live my life that way. Mm. I already have
a name picked out too. Like my wife's Puerto Rican,
Donatello. Michelangelo.
I'm bigger into Star Wars right now than I am Ninja Turtles, and I want to name our son Arthur if we have a boy.
That's cool. It's a good name.
How do you say little Arthur in Spanish?
R2D2.
Oh shit! Yeah.
And I want his first words to be beep boop.
Badass, dude. It's a good fucking thing.
Yeah.
Arthur's a good name.
Yeah, Arthur's a strong name. That's a solid name. King Arthur, you know.
I get strong names too, bro. I went very Guinea.
Yeah.
I went very fucking Italian. My last name's Benino.
Yeah.
I'm going to have a Connor Benino. It doesn't make any sense.
Nah.
A Tristan. Mm. What's these other fucking designer names they got these
Hunter,
days?
Hunter, Austin.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Like, they got friends that are named that shit. But, dude, don't forget. You know where we are. This is Jersey. And about half the fucking world from Brooklyn and Staten Island moved to fucking my town.
Mm-hmm.
You'd think my oldest son has friends. Like, he's got a unique Italian name, right? His name's Salvatore. He's got 7 friends named Sal. They got 12 Franks in the fucking school.
Peters? You got a Peter?
No, I don't know if there's any Peters. But you hear, like, Antonio's and Anthony's. You got, they must have 8 friends named Anthony.
Mm-hmm.
Carmine's, right? These are the names Dominic. That are back again. Mm-hmm. Dominic's number 3 for me. Yeah.
Rocco,
right?
You got a Vincent?
Rocco's, Vincent's. Oh, yeah. Dude, like, you don't find many designer names in our schools anymore. Like, you hear the girls' names Angelina, Angelica, like, you know, all these names. They're all just Italian, you know, just Italians because they're all Italians.
I got 3 nephews, and it's Dominic, Vincent, and Anthony. Not Anthony, Anthony.
Yeah, yeah, I know.
So, yep.
Yeah, but then you go to, like, you know, we always laugh because I go to teach in Utah, and their names are, like, Canyon and River. And, like, yeah, they're just named after, like, Sky. These are real names out there.
Yeah.
And like, I'll ask a dude his name, and like, they're like, oh, you know, Tyler's like probably the most popular name in the country, but not in New Jersey.
Man, we have a lot of Tylers. We have a lot of Kyles, and we have a lot of Tylers in our school.
No shit.
And like, one day we had like all the Kyles were there, all the Tylers were there, and then we had a trial class guy come in, and his name was Kyler. I'm like, what the fuck are you doing to me, man?
We got a lot of Jacks, and Jacksons. Yeah. We got a lot of them motherfuckers around.
Yeah.
Anyway, so look, you know, let's wrap this thing. Let's get some final thoughts out. Nick, whatever you want to push, man.
Oh, yeah.
Like, get your fucking stuff. Where can they free training for law enforcement on Wednesdays? Yeah, tell us about that shit again.
Yeah, noon on Wednesdays. Wear what you work in. Wear your street clothes. If you want to wear street clothes, come in and train.
Do you guys sign up on the website? Or they got to call you guys?
Nah, just show up, man. 12 on Wednesday, show up and come train. And then we have that one-day training course. We have the
How many cops
day.
You got coming to that shit?
It's hit or miss. Like, some days we'll have like 10 or 12, and then some days, like yesterday, I just had 2.
You want us to send shit out?
Yeah, if you want.
Like, on your behalf, through our emails and stuff like that. We'll do that.
Yeah.
Free training.
That'd be amazing.
Yeah, and just get you. We'll put it together. Before you leave, we'll make sure we go with the staff over here, and we'll get some flyers together. Cool. And we'll fire out some shit.
And then I'm looking to adapt our one-day training course, the 8-hour training course, into a 16-week curriculum that'll be, like, reoccurring. I'll probably look to run it on, like, Tuesdays and Thursday mornings coming up soon. I'm still working on finishing up the curriculum. But then when that's available, yeah, we'd love your help getting that out.
Of course, dude. No, we got to help. We got to move it forward. Got to move it along.
Yeah.
What else, Ellie?
Appreciate you and your time. That's all.
Yeah, big time.
You guys are the best.
See you again.
Well, thanks for coming in, guys. I appreciate it.
Thank you for having us.
Guys, if you're in an area where you're trying to get to our classes, but we're not close to you, fret not. We actually have on-demand training at streetcop.com. You can take that course online right now, and then you could attend that training in the future at no additional cost. You can redeem your voucher, so you get 2 for the price of 1. We don't want to deny you the ability to take this training now, especially knowing that it can keep you safe, at a very minimum, putting bad guys in jail where they belong, and at the maximum, going home to your family. Check out streetcop.com for that offer.